Oh, yes. I was there at the making of the flag. As if I didn't have enough to do without Timothy volunteering my services for this particular job. Well, it was myself, Anne Duke and Anastasia Withers. Our husbands often gathered at night after a day of digging to talk politics. No, the women were never encouraged to attend. But it was at one of these meetings that it was decided that they needed a flag to rally their supporters. Oh, you see, everyone had their flag on the goldfields, well, to let you know who and where they were. I'd noticed a doctor's flag had gone up the other week, outside a tent closer to town. Yellow background with mortar and pestle. Well, there's a flag for the undertaker and one for the different shops, and the nations are camped together under their little flags like the Lone Star of the Texans nearby. Why, the night Tim came home and talked about the flag, his eyes were shining bright and he was full of fire when he talked of it. Here, in our new home, Annie, the flag will be a symbol of our quest for human rights. The design came about when Captain Charles Ross, a Canadian, stepped outside the tent to stretch his legs and take a pipe. Tim said he looked up into the sky, saw the Southern Cross glittering against the night blue sky, and remembered the similar flag of Canadian Quebec. He went back inside and announced to the meeting, "I have it, gentlemen, a design for our flag. Come outside and I'll show you." Well, we were all handy sewers. What else could we be making every stitch of clothing for our families? We gathered together all the material for the flag from our own supplies. Mrs. Withers had a dress length of navy blue wool for the backdrop, and I brought the material that was supposed to be a petticoat for my oldest girl. Now, if I remember right, I think it was Mrs. Duke, yes, who had the Indian cotton used for the cross. We hemmed the background material and appliqued the stars onto it. We got our stars by folding and then refolding a square of white petticoat cotton and cutting out a triangle shape. This gave it 8 points. We worked all day while the older children attended the school nearby on the Eureka lead, and the little ones hung about their mothers. Well, my youngest was only a few months old, so I was happy to sit for the day. I was still in pain when toileting. As well as my other chores, I planted a little garden, and it was growing well, but it was such hard work, and with Tim gone all day, well, it was all up to me. Well, I'd heard some good advice from one of the sailors. At sea, they ate lots of green to avoid the scurvy, so I'd planted some spinach seeds an old Chinaman had given me, along with onions, carrots, and spuds. Oh, well, I still can't look at a spud now without cursing the English and thinking of all my family who died during the Great Hunger. We were all at that first meeting, waiting for Mr. Humphrey and the delegation to arrive back from Melbourne. Our flag was raised and, well, we were rather proud of our handiwork. There were tears in our eyes when Mr. Carboni proclaimed, "Irrespective of nationality, religion and colour, I call on you to salute the Southern Cross as the refuge of all the oppressed from all countries on earth." And I was there to see it being torn down by Trooper King, who laid it in the dirt and stamped into the dust. I was furious, I can tell you. And it is true that when I walked up to Lieutenant Thomas Richards, who had arrested my Tim after the massacre at Eureka, I said with as much venom as I could muster, "If I had been a man, I would not have allowed myself to be taken by the likes of you."